Real pleasure to chair this session and to introduce Jelen to you. Though I doubt whether he needs much introduction, I know him as an economic entrepreneur and as a social entrepreneur, in that we've worked together over with Cool Earth. As you know, Jelen was asked by the Prime Minister to report on the whole issue about climate change, what to do about it. He's the Prime Minister's special representative on climate change, deforestation and clean energy, Johan?
Yes.
And Johan is going to talk to us today about global risks and I hope global opportunities. Johan.
Thank you, Frank. First of all, it's a big honor to be here. Thank you very much. Next slide. What I'm going to talk about today is climate change, but not an inconvenient truth, but really trying to give a big picture view of what the problems are, what the risks are if we don't do anything, and also what the opportunities are if we do this right. Next slide, please. Now, the planet wasn't really designed to have 9 billion people on it. And that is really what the climate change is all about. For a long time, there were much less than a billion people. And climate change issues didn't exist. We've had, if you go back a few hundred million years, there have been periods with much higher CO2 concentrations than we even have today. And the planet has managed to adapt. But populations in those years of animals suffered as a consequence. Those weren't induced by, they were actually happened because of other exogenous factors which we are not facing today. So this is really what this is all about. And that is how we adapt the way we live to what the planet can accommodate us with. Next slide. And the population growth, what that has done is that it's led to increased demand for food and water. Food means you need more land for agriculture, you need water. Water also requires energy in many places. Next slide, please. And the other thing, of course, is the rising energy demand, whether it's fuels, coals, natural gas, nuclear energy. And some are good and some are bad. And some of the bad can become good if we apply technologies to make them good. Next slide, please. Now, land conversion, that is a major problem because that involves cutting down trees. And the forests around the world, particularly the rainforests, are major carbon sinks. To give an idea, each hectare of rainforest harbors about 300-400 tons of carbon. Next slide, please. Now, with rising agricultural demands, we have cut down more trees. So, with that, resulted in a drastic increase of CO2 emissions from deforestation. The other part of it is also that as we are getting more prosperous, we change our diets from simple diets to more energy or CO2 consuming diets. So, for instance, beef is 10 times more, has a 10 times higher carbon footprint than, for instance, rice. And of course, if you look in the Amazonas, 80% of all the deforested areas are occupied by cattle ranch. Next slide, please. As you can see here, we have a steady increase in global greenhouse gas emissions over the years. If you look in 1970 to 2004, we've had a 50% increase. Next slide. Now, if we look at the different sectors that contribute, energy is the biggest, but that consists of many different subsectors. The third one is forestry, which is roughly 17-18% of global greenhouse gas emissions. But that is one thing as a whole. And there is an opportunity here because unlike other sectors where you need most likely to invest heavily in new technologies and where the transition is also likely to take a very long time, forestry is potentially simpler to deal with. Now, to put that into context, global deforestation accounts for more CO2 emissions than the US, than China, and of course also the EU. And that puts it into perspective. Next slide, please. Yeah, this shows different temperature change models here, what might happen if we do what. But what is sort of the threshold that we have to be careful about is the 2 degrees. And if we can't get to do something to mitigate before we reach a 2 degree increase, we have this danger area between 2 and 4 degrees. And I'll get to that later on in the presentation, talk about the impacts. Next slide, please. Yeah, today, the environmental and also social cost of climate change is not really reflected in what consumers pay for goods. And also on other things that we have to as benefits. And that is why we need to put the value on carbon reduction. Next slide, please. Now, another very important issue which has started to get more attention but must not be forgotten, and that is water. Because with increased temperatures, we'll have less fresh water at our disposal. And as 50% of the world population live in areas which are exposed to water stress, call it, this is something which we must focus on. Next slide, please. Ecosystems is another danger area, and that is if we have a temperature increase of 2 degrees, most likely as much as 30% of all species will be suffer the threat of extinction. Coral mortality is another important thing in the services that the corals provide in the ocean. Next one, please. Yeah, food, decrease in cereal productivity. Negative impacts for subsistence farmers. Next slide, please. Yeah, coasts. If you take a country like Bangladesh with rising sea levels, lots of land here will not be possible to live on, resulting in migration, which can lead to conflicts when those people have to find new places. Next slide, please. Yeah. Health is another issue. Increased morbidity and mortality. Increased malnutrition. Other infectious diseases. And this could result in as many as 500,000 deaths a year in about 20 years, which would be a consequence of rising temperatures. Next slide, please. Now the other thing which is important here is that the longer we delay this in fixing the problem, the costlier it is going to get. And that is based on all these things that I just described to you, that dealing with something which is began to deteriorate obviously requires more investment. Next slide, please. Yeah. And if we look at continuing as we do today, business as usual, we overshoot the target that is necessary to stabilize, which is in atmospheric terms, 475 parts per million of CO2. And right now, we are here. So we need to take action to follow the lower trajectory. Next slide, please. So the process of dealing with climate change started with the Kyoto Protocol, which some people say wasn't very successful, because look at where we got to today, with not as much action as people had hoped. The next milestone in talking about the succession of the Kyoto Protocol, which expires in 2012, is Copenhagen in December. This is the UN Conference of Parties. And here the key things are going to be, how do we finance climate change? We need to admit forests into the clean development mechanism. We need to find agreements on technology transfer and also adaptation. We also need to set effective targets. And all that together, hopefully reach an effective deal at Copenhagen. But let me tell you this. You're dealing here with over 200 parties. So when you do things in business, you usually start with a handshake, which becomes a term sheet, and then the lawyers get involved, and you end up with thousands of pages. But here, it's the opposite. You start off with thousands of pages, and in the end, you have one sheet of paper which usually doesn't say anything. And that is the challenge. That's the big challenge we have in getting something together which can really be effective and make a change. Next slide, please. Yeah, financing mechanisms for this to happen. And cost of dealing with climate change is obviously now a major issue. The opportunity, though, that this has presented the process is that we now have to be much more concerned about which areas to focus on and how we can get most carbon emission reduction for relative to the cost. I mean, some years ago, there were many projects which, from a cost efficiency point of view, would be difficult to justify. There were biofuels projects which cost sort of $90 to $100 per ton on the carbon market, and the emissions trading scheme were trading at $30 a ton. And that obviously doesn't make sense. So what is needed here is for financing to take place is a sensible approach. We need a a market-led system, probably together with other means such as regulation and also possibly taxation in some countries to make this happen. And we need both public and private funds. But this is like any market, whether it is a stock market or a bond market, it needs to function on sound principles. Next slide. Now, forest. If we look here at cost effectivity, forests presents a huge opportunity, because if we can deal successfully with reducing deforestation, we can halve the cost of dealing with climate change globally. And why is that? That is because the cost, the estimated cost of per ton of carbon is as low as somewhere around $2 to $5 per ton, which is very low compared to other sources of reductions. Next slide, please. Next slide. Now, it's also unlikely that the world can achieve the targets of carbon emissions without addressing forestry and avoided deforestation. And looking at it in isolation, the effects of deforestation on climate change could lead to additional global damages of $1 trillion per year by 2100, which is quite a high amount. That is, let's say, a couple of percent of global GDP. And maybe by then, I think about 1%. What is required now to halve emissions from forests to 2030 is estimated at somewhere between 17 and 33 billion. Next slide, please. And the basic proposition here is you need to make the standing tree more valuable than the cut down tree to all stakeholders. And I add to all stakeholders, because the economics here are different depending on who you talk to. But if you don't address the totality, you can't really address the problem. And that is something that I've experienced personally, because the way I got involved with this was having always had an interest in rainforest and what it does. I personally got some rainforest in the Amazonas, and I applied the sort of economics that I'm used to in the beginning to preserve the area that I had. And what I did was I gave the harvesting rights to the local population, so they could go in and harvest nuts and fruits for free. They could keep everything. And the deal was they became the custodians of the forest. Now, this worked very well. It worked very well for the community, but it didn't always make the local politicians happy, because they lost means of getting votes in elections, because these people weren't as dependent on the politicians. So what would happen instead was, if there was a group of settlers that needed to be placed somewhere, they would of course be placed very near my lands. Now, this led to local conflicts, because of course the population of this city, they would favor to protect my lands, because that was their livelihood. And then the politicians would try something else. So it's very important. You're dealing with lots of different interests, and you need to satisfy all the interests for this to have sustainability. So, if we can achieve that proposition, we can achieve substantial emissions reductions, we can lower the costs of tackling climate change overall significantly, We can also address poverty in many of these areas, because in some cases deforestation is a result of poor people not having any food to feed themselves with or their families, and therefore they resort to cutting down trees. And we can also protect biodiversity and water systems, which is important. Next slide. Yeah. So to achieve this, we need a step change in how land is used and how commodities are produced. And that is a combination of carbon finance, policy incentives in rainforest nations, consumer awareness and regulation. And the aim here should be that by 2020 we should halve deforestation, and we should try to make the entire forestry sector carbon neutral by 2030. And that can be done if we reduce deforestation by 75% and we plant new trees to make up for the other 25%. Now, next slide, please. So, what we need here is, first of all, effective targets based on national baselines, robust measuring. We need a linking to carbon finance, and that basically means that if you avoid deforestation, that you're eligible to receive carbon credits, which you can then sell in a carbon market. And we need governance. We need a governance structure, because a lot of these areas are sometimes there aren't very efficient judicial systems, and we need to have an effective way of monitoring and seeing that everything is done. Next slide, please. Yeah, it's when you hear this, you probably say to yourselves, why have forestry been neglected for such a long time? Because avoided deforestation in developing countries has only been a significant part of the climate change negotiations since December 2007 in Bali. And today, developing countries have only been able to participate in carbon trading schemes through the clean development mechanism, and avoided deforestation has not been part of it. Next slide. And that is why Frank and I, we established Cool Earth, because we said this is crazy. This is such an opportunity not only to deal with the climate change problem, but rainforest destruction is something that shouldn't happen. And so therefore we said, let's establish an organization which gives people the opportunity to take active part in this. So Cool Earth was set up to support local NGOs with projects locally in local rainforest areas designed to preserve rainforest. Next slide, please. And to date, what we have achieved in the last 2-3 years, we have protected 88,000 acres of rainforest, where you have 530,000 mature trees. We have contributed to 2 schools, 1 clinic, 6 warehouses have been built. We have trained 45 forest engineers. And very importantly, we have amassed a membership of 100,000 members, which shows you how close to people's heart protection of rainforests are. Yeah. So I think with that, I've given you sort of an overview of climate change and forestry. So, please, questions.